All right. So good feedback on the first little episode. Thank you very much to anyone who has been in touch or not in touch but still listened, including our strange one lone listener in Israel. I have a suspicion on who that might have been. I will ask you if I ever see you again in person, so we'll figure that out when we come to it. But thank you, nonetheless, for tuning in. If you enjoy it, you could pass it on to one of your training partners or someone in general who enjoys podcasts, who might have 20 minutes or more to drive to go places. I listen to at least 1 hour long podcast most days between driving to and from training. These sort of podcasts, though, could be considered the Subway 6-inch equivalents or the Breakfast Bap versions. Easy to grab, consume, digest, whatever you're having yourself. So from the weekend just gone, anecdotally on the internet, you can see people talking about how people have joined gyms or looking to start jiu-jitsu after coming across the Craig Jones Invitational, which was an event that was held in Las Vegas that was live streamed for free on YouTube over the weekend. And it got huge support from the jiu-jitsu community and managed to pierce the mainstream attention by having a male versus female match, which was years in the making. Now, as far as I'm aware, I'm pretty certain this is the first time anything to do with jiu-jitsu has ever been like picked up mainstream-wise. Apart from the guy in America who sued the gym, which was a pretty big thing at the time, over somebody getting injured. But this pierced the mainstream, was all over websites, talked about a lot, and it was down to the fact that Craig Jones had a grappling match against a girl called Gabby Garcia. But it got the attention regardless. So let's say, for whatever reason, you're in the situation where you have been deliberating with the idea of starting jiu-jitsu or wanting to get involved and try it out. Here's a couple of things that you can do, not only in order to suss out where you should go and what you could do once you start. So first things first, it came up quite a bit in the last one, so we'll keep on that trend. Use Google Maps. Just type in jiu-jitsu near me or BJJ near me or martial art or whatever sport you want and see what comes up. You should get a host of options, hopefully. First of all, you can click onto them. Maybe there's pictures there. Maybe there's a bit of information, a contact number, timetables, whatever. But I would say check out the gym's website to see when there might be classes on or a little bit of information about the ethos and the identity of the gym. There could be a lot of similar formats here as people are trying to explain what this martial art from Brazil, origins in Japan, was and how it's all about this great big family that invented it. And that's what you might see a lot of the time when you go onto websites, which is fine. Maybe now you can pivot, do a wee check out of some social media pages instead. See what content they're putting out, how important it might be to them. Now, some of the best gyms I've ever trained in have got limited social media output, but they've grown massively by word of mouth. Others, on the other side of things, have looked good from the outside, maybe like a car on done deal. Then when you pop up the hood, look underneath, maybe not as good as the inside. But to a day one beginner, how are they meant to know, or a bad driver who's not a mechanic, how are they meant to know what is good and what is bad? Google reviews can be a very helpful element as well, but this isn't like at the same culture of like a cafe or a restaurant where people like give off and leave bad reviews. So generally speaking, you will see a lot of positive reviews for a lot of gyms, which I think is great. But unofficially, there might be a bit of chat within the gym of people encouraging you to give a review so that other people can see it and maybe they will start training as well. I'm sure we all have leave us a Google review poster or a sticker up somewhere. However, that person, when they sit down to type their review, if they're already paying you a membership, training jiu-jitsu, maybe looking for a wee stripe or a belt off you in the near future, they're not going to go on Google, start typing away and say, actually, now that I'm sitting here thinking of this, they're not that great. I'm not a huge fan of them. Their music terrible taste is awful. No, actually, upon further reflection, do not go here. The reviews are 100% genuine, though. I'm just having a bit of a slag. Unfortunately, the reason why they're so genuine and positive is because one of the toxic traits of jiu-jitsu people who like it, who do it, is that we can't help falling over ourselves and wanting to tell you how much we enjoy it or how good it is if given the opportunity to talk about it. Similar to the in-betweeners from years ago. I've been on many coffee tables with certain friends and jiu-jitsu might come up and I get a beep 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 sent down my ear. Like when you're not allowed to talk about the thing, you're just like beep 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 beep. So through social media, through the internet, through whatever, look out for offers, maybe a beginner's or a fundamentals course that's starting. Having loads of people starting at the same time can be a very beneficial thing, especially if there's a group of people feeling at ease and starting something like a brand new task. Now, having never played a competitive game of soccer since I was like 16, having never played a competitive game of GA or hurling in my life, while I would like to try it, at the age of 31, the barrier for entry and enjoyment and recreational purposes is so far away from me doing it, it would feel like a mountain trying to get into it, which is what jiu-jitsu can feel for a lot of people as well. Maybe you think you're not fit enough. Maybe you want to lose a bit of weight before you go and do it. Maybe you think you wouldn't be capable of doing it. All entirely normal, logical things to worry about when trying to start something new. And sometimes also other gyms may have a dedicated year-round beginner's class that will follow a curriculum of fundamental techniques designed so that the person coming in to train can just slot in and train regardless of if it's in a new group or not. So the one thing that was most important for me, I'm happy to admit it, consider a safety blanket, aka someone else who's going to try it out with you. And without wanting to link it back to being terrible at soccer as a teenager, as an adult trying something new, daunting, okay, let's call a spade a spade. But do you really want to give yourself the opportunity to relive those teenage experiences of what it's like at being picked last at something again? Now as an adult, now as a person who can drive with responsibilities, you are dead last. No thank you. And that's me slagging again a little bit as well, because people do go out of their way to help new people become accommodated to jiu-jitsu. But when people are pairing up and there's people mates with each other, it's like, oh, do you want to roll? Do you want to do this round? You're like, roll? What's that? Round? What do you mean? So I know for a fact, I only walked in, started for the first time because one of my best mates was doing it. One of my best mates, by the way, who will refuse to ever listen to anything that I put onto the internet. And fair play to him. Thanks for the support. But if he hadn't have started, I wouldn't have wanted to keep doing it. Or I wouldn't have wanted to start it as well. And even if he did stop training after a little while, I had gotten in and enjoyed it enough that made me think regardless of that, I would want to keep doing it. So even if they are going to end up dropping it after a while, having a person to come in with you can be so crucial for you sticking at it long term and your initial development. Maybe you've made contact with this gym now through social media or email. You've been given some information, or maybe you're just going to show up and try the beginner's class. You may meet a receptionist, a person at the check-in desk. The gym could have a free class, a free week, a free month. You may have to fill out some details, sign a form or two. So maybe give yourself 15 to 20 minutes before the class starts to get all of that admin out of the way. Now, depending on where you are in the world, some gyms will have different norms and cultures and stuff like that. There are legitimately places in the world, I don't think in Ireland though, that may require or expect you to call the black belt professor or the coach's professor. Now, let's apply that to an Irish name. We're somewhere in Ireland. The black belt is somebody called McNulty. Professor McNulty. What are we doing? No chance. You don't have to do that in Dundalk. I think it would be an awful business model, to be honest, in Ireland. You get slagged the life out of you. You know, professor. It's a Brazilian thing. It's their thing. Very cool. They sound much cooler saying it than we would. Professor. They sound much better saying it. It's their thing. Let them at it. Okay? Call them by their name. That's generally what I've come across. Andrew is fine if I'm teaching a class. No problem. I've actually laughed a few times inadvertently when someone has said coach. I'm just like, Andrew will do. It's all right. if worst case scenario, you're running a few minutes late, some gyms will sometimes do a thing where you might have to stand on the side of the mat, bow to the instructor or the professor, as we previously discussed, and you will wait to be signaled onto the mat. Again, call a spade, in my opinion, ridiculous. But I didn't invent the sport. It didn't come from my country. So if people want to do that in their gyms, they're entirely allowed to do that. In my opinion, show up, get changed, get on the mat as quick as you can. You're missing your training time. That's you that's getting less training, not us. We didn't wait for you and start then. Having a pair of flip-flops is very important, depending on the gym. Now, a lot of our people will wear their shoes out to the mat, take them off while sitting on the side of the mat, and that's all good. Everyone else, the majority of people, wear flip-flops. Don't take for granted the fact, however, that there are people that exist in this world who don't think anything of walking off a mat barefoot, heading to a toilet, going to the toilet, coming back onto the mat with their same feet. For a sport that is entirely, majority, ground-based, your head, your face, your lips, your mouth could be rolling on the same matted area that they just potentially walked piss back onto the mats. For me, this is the thing that you call out and unapologetically. Do you know what I mean? If you see someone going into the toilet in bare feet, you call them a dirty whatever you want. Choose the word yourself. I can think of many. But into episode number 2, let's not lose the PG rating straight away. Okay? So in terms of moving on now to like what can be a good training partner. Now, this can be a very broad or vague type of advice to give out right now, especially if you're listening and you haven't done it yet. So let's think of some areas that can be broadly understood. The unique selling point of jiu-jitsu for many people is in the sparring, or rolling, as we will call it. There are no strikes in jiu-jitsu, and the majority of your training will start from the knees or on the ground. You won't start in the feet when you're getting used to it, and personally, unless you're planning on competing, then the standing side of jiu-jitsu should not be a huge factor in your training, especially if you take age and stuff into account. But it's definitely important knowing about transitioning from the feet to the ground, but it's very rare that gyms will do all of their rounds, if even a fraction of their sparring rounds, starting standing and then going from there. So when you are rolling and you're sparring with someone, try and keep your fingers naturally away from your partner's eyes and mouth. However, panic can set in and you may not feel like you can move from a certain situation, and then the next thing you know, you're pushing up against somebody's face to try to get them away, and accidents can happen. It's part of the process. But clawing at someone is pretty much a surefire way that either they're not going to want to train with you again for a little while, or you'll have someone who'll think that they're a little bit further down the road than you. They'll take matters into their own hand and they'll hold you down a little bit harder, a little bit of pressure to gently remind you not to do that again. If you're feeling discomfort or pain, I tell people this all the time, it's completely fine to tap the pressure, especially when you're getting started. Even explaining or saying afterwards, here, sorry, I'm just not used to that. That's mad. That's class. Just never felt like that before. I just felt like, sorry, like just go again if that's all right. Completely fine. But it is something that you're going to get used to, even if you're not used to it right now. So try not to be the person who will go with 100% intensity when it's in an equal or even position, and not bring that same energy to attempting to escape or then tapping or giving up the second you're put into an uncomfortable position. After a while, that can be something that's important to think of as well. Again, side note, ignore any cliches you may hear about sharks and the ground and the sea and the ocean and not being able to swim. If you're trying jiu-jitsu and you're alive, which I would hope that you are, that means you have never drowned before. And it's often said that learning jiu-jitsu can feel like drowning, which I suppose there can be some reference in the sense that you might have felt panic in the water before. But unlike the person who's feeling panic on a matted area above land, you have a much better outcome in what you're about to do than the person who's thinking that they're about to drown. So within jiu-jitsu, there can be a way out of a position. Unfortunately, not always there is a way out of drowning. So even though it's your point of entry into the sport, it may feel like that. Just keep in mind, yes, there is, and you will eventually learn a way out of the position that you're currently stuck in. Asking for feedback is fine. It's encouraged. It's brilliant. But don't put the same amount of stock or importance on advice that you may get from someone on the mat as you might get from a coach. They're there to learn as well as yourself, so keep that in mind. They also may be a little bit further down the road, but broadly speaking, trust your coaches and the people leading the classes or the higher belts on the mats. I know, as someone who does coach, there's often people on the mat at the same time as me who are much better at certain positions. So if the judo black belt is on the mat with me and someone asks me about a takedown, I'm going to say, the judo black belt knows significantly more than that. If the person who terrorizes me passing my half guard is on the mat and someone asks me about passing half guard, I'm going to say, that's the man to ask. So I would point them in the direction of someone else instead of giving what I would think would be a substandard answer. And while the coach may know more than you, keep in mind that there'll always be someone who knows more than the coach. So while I'm kind of saying two different things here, I'm looking at it from an aerial perspective when I'm trying to explain that. You can accept advice from everyone, maybe weight the advice from your coach a little bit higher, and try not to be the person, once you get a little bit further down the line, who's giving out unsolicited advice. So it's kind of like a meme or a running joke on the internet about how lower belts might be coaching other lower belts about using terms and stuff that they may have seen on the internet or videos and stuff, which is fine. You can watch stuff online. You can definitely get great resources from it. I'm putting this on the internet, so there you go. Or they're also the joke about, like, say, the higher belt who's about to get caught by the lower belt, and then they start coaching the lower belt through the position while they're rolling, even though they were about to get submitted. So to the person listening to this who's never trained before, that will go over your head. Don't worry about it. Maybe you'll get good enough after a couple of months, catch someone higher than you, and they'll start talking you through the submission as you're catching them. Then you'll know what that is. Listen to the demonstrations when they're happening, when technique's being shown. Try and be very coachable in terms of not being afraid to ask for help if you feel like you're not getting or understanding what's being asked of you. The coordination and complexities of some of the training is something that people who've trained for a while do take for granted. If you've trained now and you're listening to this, think back to how awkward it was when you tried to do something like arm bars for the first time or guillotine chokes. Like, you felt you were just hanging off someone's neck. I had this conversation only yesterday with a lad who owns a gym, good at Olympic lifting, CrossFit, etc. How easy it looks on video, me watching him, aka someone with a lot of experience, doing these workouts and these lifts, or just in the gym, and then how daunting it can be for someone like me, not a lot of weightlifting experience, who's only trying to replicate the movement. In theory, or on the basics, I may copy the movement, but am I aware or missing the nuances of the movement? Like, where was my grip position, knee position? Was my back bent? Did I load the weight properly? So have an open mind to the fact that you're going to feel uncomfortable, maybe a little bit uncoordinated, but these are all things that you get used to with time. And finally, don't take anything personally until you've been given a reason to take it personally. So when you get used to it and you get into rolling for the first time, it can be the most exhilarating mental thing you've ever felt before. And maybe you're not used to the pressures and the weight that's being distributed, which is completely fine. Being put in submissions, brand new experience. Everything is so new and alien to you. So you maybe never knew someone that small could be so heavy, or someone that big could move so fast, or look how flexible that person is. Having your arm almost hyperextended, being caught in a choke for the first time. So if you're training with people, and I've said this a few times, who are a little bit more down the line than you or a bit more experienced, you're going to lose a lot from the get-go, okay? You're going, and they're not doing it because they didn't like the look of you when you came in, or they didn't like the cut of you. They just have more experience in the norms and the realities of the sport in rolling and sparring. They're competing against you in a bid to try and pin and control you before ultimately submitting you. So it is a contact sport. And despite many popular claims, there's going to be a bit of ego involved in that, in their quest to control, pin, and submit you. So it's important to remember you're going to get tapped a lot before you start tapping people out yourself. And the one last thing, there are people who will be just predetermined to be decent at this for whatever reason from the get-go. Maybe they've experienced another sport, contact sports, I have seen a good transition from like GAA, rugby especially, into getting used to the rough and tumble of jiu-jitsu or relishing the rough and tumble of jiu-jitsu. Maybe you're someone in your 30s, early 40s, nice job, family, whatever, you want to try learning martial art. Jiu-jitsu is absolutely for you. Don't be put off by the fact that someone who might have started at the same time has had more sporting experience than you and may seem like they're picking things up quicker, okay? There is a very cliched thing, which I feel now more than ever after having gotten a black belt. It isn't about who's good, it's about who's left. It's about who can stick the course longer term and get there in the end. As always, guys, thanks for checking out. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We'll be back to you next week when we can come up with another topic to talk about here in 20 minutes or less. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're all awesome. And just turned the microphone back on to realize we went slightly, marginally over 20 minutes. Don't hold it against me. Sorry. Good luck.